You are listening to your daily wellness update, and before we dive in, I want to start with something important, something worth repeating every single day. You are not a passive passenger in your own health story. You are the driver. Every choice you make, what you eat, how you move, how you rest, how you respond to stress, those are not small things. Those are powerful things. And today, we're going to talk about a few of them in a way that I hope feels accessible, encouraging, and genuinely useful to you wherever you are right now in your wellness journey. Welcome. Let's get into it. Today's wellness update covers three interconnected areas that might seem separate at first glance, but are actually deeply linked beneath the surface. We're talking about a mineral most of us overlook, the surprising connection between blood sugar and blood pressure, and what we can do today, right now, for free, to protect our brain health for the long term. Let's start with something that might surprise you. When most people hear the word iodine, they think of the thyroid gland, that butterfly-shaped structure in your neck that regulates your metabolism. And yes, iodine is absolutely critical for thyroid health. But here's what's really fascinating. Iodine is actually needed by almost every glandular tissue in your body. Think of your glands as little communication hubs, places where your body makes and sends important chemical messages. Breast tissue, the prostate, the pancreas, the ovaries, all of them actively seek out and use iodine. It's not just a thyroid nutrient, it's a whole body nutrient. Now here's where this gets really important. More than one-third of people worldwide may be iodine deficient to some degree. And if we look at a visual progress map of iodine levels in the US over time, essentially a chart tracking how iodine shows up in people's urine, which is how scientists measure it, what that picture shows is a troubling trend. In the early 1970s, only about 2.5% of Americans had significantly low iodine levels. By the late 1980s and into the 1990s, that number had climbed to nearly 15%. That's a six-fold increase in just two decades. So what happened? A few things, actually. Until the 1980s, iodine was added to bread flour in the United States. Then it was replaced with something called bromine, a substance in the same chemical family as iodine, but one that is actually banned in Canada and the European Union. Here's the key thing about bromine and iodine. They're chemical cousins. They compete for the same spots in your body. So when bromine comes in, it can actually push iodine out. Building on that, modern farming practices, relying heavily on synthetic fertilizers, have gradually depleted the iodine content of our soil over generations. That means even plant foods grown inland may contain less iodine than they once did. So where can you get iodine naturally? The richest sources are seaweed, especially kelp, along with shellfish, cod, and sardines. Worth noting, heavy cooking can reduce iodine content, so lighter preparations tend to preserve more of it. If you have a thyroid condition, including Hashimoto's, Graves' disease, or thyroid nodules, please talk with your doctor before making any changes to your iodine intake, because in those cases, both too much and too little can matter. Now let's talk about blood pressure, and I want to approach this in a way that might shift how you've been thinking about it. Most conversations about blood pressure focus on salt, and while sodium does play a role for some people, there's another factor that multiple physicians are pointing to as a major underlying driver for many of us, something called insulin resistance. Here's a simple way to understand it. Insulin is like a key. It unlocks your cells so they can use the energy from food. But when you eat a lot of refined sugars and processed carbohydrates over time, and especially when physical activity is limited, your cells start to ignore the key. They stop responding. So your body panics a little and keeps producing more and more insulin to try to get the job done. And here's the problem. Chronically high insulin levels are linked to inflammation, and that inflammation can directly push blood pressure higher over time. The good news? One of the most effective and most accessible things you can do about this costs absolutely nothing. Walking, especially after meals. Even 10 to 15 minutes of gentle walking after you eat has been shown to meaningfully support your body's ability to manage blood sugar. It's a small act with a genuinely meaningful ripple effect on your cardiovascular health. More importantly, you don't have to be a marathon runner to benefit. Any increase from where you are right now is a step forward, literally. Strength training also came up repeatedly in the research behind today's briefing, not just for blood pressure, but for brain health too. Resistance exercise, even light weights or resistance bands, helps reduce chronic inflammation and regulate cortisol, which brings us to our next big topic. Stress. We talk about it casually. I'm so stressed. But what's actually happening in your body during chronic stress is worth understanding. When you're under ongoing stress, your body releases hormones called cortisol and adrenaline. In short bursts, these are useful. They help you respond to challenges. But when they stay elevated day after day, they create a cascade of problems. Rising blood pressure, disrupted sleep, and this is the part that really got my attention, actual damage to the hippocampus. The hippocampus is the part of your brain that forms and stores memories. It's essentially your brain's memory library, and chronic stress over time can shrink it. This is why sleep matters so much more than most of us realize. Sleep isn't just rest. It's when your brain runs a kind of internal cleaning cycle, clearing out abnormal proteins that, if they accumulate, are associated with cognitive decline. Think of it like a nightly maintenance crew coming in to tidy up the building. If the crew never gets to work, if sleep is cut short or disrupted, the buildup continues. So protecting your sleep is one of the most direct investments you can make in your long-term brain health. Let's talk about food for a moment, because a few specific pairings came up in today's research that I think are genuinely worth knowing. First, turmeric and black pepper. Curcumin, the active compound in turmeric, has wonderful anti-inflammatory properties, but it's notoriously hard for your body to absorb on its own. Adding black pepper activates an absorption pathway that dramatically increases how much your body can actually use. So if you cook with turmeric, add a pinch of black pepper too. Same dish, dramatically better benefit.
Second, fat-soluble vitamins need fat. Vitamins A, D, E, K1, and K2 cannot be absorbed without dietary fat present. So when you drizzle genuine extra virgin olive oil over a salad or add a small amount of butter to your cooked vegetables, you're not just adding flavor, you're actually unlocking the nutritional value of what you're already eating. That's a beautiful example of how small shifts in how you prepare food can make what you eat work harder for you. And shellfish, oysters, shrimp, clams, emerged across multiple sources today as nutritional standouts. They're rich in iodine, zinc, and selenium, three trace minerals that many people are quietly lacking. Even one seafood meal this week could be a meaningful step. Finally, two supplements came up in the brain health conversation that are worth knowing about, with the clear note that the evidence is promising but still developing. Ashwagandha is an adaptogenic herb, meaning it may help your body regulate its stress response. And lion's mane mushroom contains compounds believed to stimulate something called nerve growth factor, which your brain needs to maintain and repair nerve cells. If either of these interests you, bring them up with your healthcare provider, especially if you're on thyroid medication, blood thinners, or any sedatives. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground today, and I want to leave you with one simple, free thing you can do right now or tonight that ties everything we've talked about together. Build a wind-down routine before bed. It doesn't have to be elaborate. Dim the lights an hour before sleep. Put your phone in another room. Maybe do some gentle stretching or take a warm bath. Just signal to your nervous system, the day is done, it's safe to rest. That single habit supports your blood pressure, protects your brain, and helps regulate the stress hormones we talked about today. It costs nothing, and it starts tonight. Remember, this update is for education and encouragement. It is not a substitute for your personal medical care. Your doctor knows your full history, and they are your most important partner on this journey. Please reach out to them with any questions today's content raised for you. And if you ever experience a blood pressure reading above 180 over 120, sudden severe headache, chest pain, or vision changes, please seek medical attention right away. You are not alone in this. Health is built one small, consistent choice at a time, and you are already here, already listening, already investing in yourself. That matters. You've got this. Take care of yourself.